Well, that's pretty, wasn't it? It's hard to get a hold of the fact that he literally came. He literally left where he was and came where I am, that I might leave where I am and go where he is. It's amazing how God's mindful of us, isn't it? And I'm reminded of it more and more and more every day. Probably at least three times at the funeral home. You can be turning to Luke chapter number 6. I heard this statement. I don't know what we'd do if it wasn't for the Lord. I don't know what we'd do if it wasn't for the Lord. Brother John told me, he said, "Brother Eddie, I don't know how I'd make it if I didn't know for sure in my heart where Mama's at." Thank God for his grace. Boy, it's real, ain't it? Think about that song old Brother Daniel Waters wrote, and he recorded it here, I believe. He says, title of the song was, "Thank God It's Real." Thank God it's real. It's not something, it's not a fairy tale. It's, there's a whole lot of people in this world up for a big disappointment. Because they've lived their life in vain and for nothing. They're going to find out what they've been worshiping all these years was just a dead God and wasn't real. But I'm glad I know that I will see him. Amen. Thank God. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number, let me see where I want to pick up. Maybe, let's look at verse number 36. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 36. Are y'all there? The Bible said, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Let me just stop right there and say that's probably impossible. But it's a good thing to shoot for. I guarantee you I'd have a hard time being as merciful as God is. Wouldn't you? Has God been merciful with you? He has certainly dealt mercifully with me. He said, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful." Look at verse number 37. He said, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over." I'll never forget a message Brother Jay Bice preached from that passage of Scripture, Brother Charles. You might remember. He talked about going to the feed store or to the grain store. They'd take their grain in. Brother Freddie, you remember that? And they'd have it milled. He said that old guy at the mill, he had always put it under the spout where the grain would come out. And he said that bag would fill up. And he said he had cut that switch off. And then he'd pick that bag up and he'd shake it. Shaking that. He'd let that thing. You ever wondered, you get a bag of Lay's tater chips? Somebody talk to me. I don't know why they even make the whole bag. It should only be about that tall. Amen. You know what that is? They fill that thing up till it's full and they seal it off. But then that thing settles down. What that guy at the granary would do, he'd shake that bag down and put a little more in there and shake it down again. That's good measure is what Brother Jay said that was. He wouldn't just fill your sack, he'd give you good measure. I'm glad God said if you'll give, he'll give it unto you and he'll give it in a good measure. Press down, amen? In other words, he's going to give you all that he can get in there, amen? Thank God we serve a God who is merciful like that and gives unto us. Let's look at verse 38 again. He said it was pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I want to preach to you on this thought just for a minute tonight. What goes around, comes around. What goes around comes around. We were watching the other night, me and Hayden and Jonah and Caroline, we was piled up on the couch and we was watching Mickey's Christmas Carol. I love that story. My wife and I had the opportunity last year, or year before last, to go to Washington, D.C., and we saw that's the first big-time really play I ever saw, but we went to the Ford Theater where Lincoln was killed, and we saw Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. And you know what was pretty amazing? It ain't got nothing to do with the message, but right there at the end of that play, you know, they read the Christmas story from Luke chapter number 2, the little, what's the little guy's name, Cratchit? Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim reads Luke chapter number 2. And right there in Washington, D.C., he read the King James Bible on that stage. Boy, I just had to amen him. Amen? But we were watching that thing, and old Ebenezer Scrooge, you know how the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future comes, and that old ghost of Christmas future takes old Scrooge out to the graveyard, and all his life he is a tightwad, and I don't know what else you might call him, but he didn't care about nothing but money and nothing but himself, and it came down to the end of the road, and there he is standing at his grave, and there's two old grave diggers there. That's the only people at his funeral. And you know why? Because that's the way his life was. He didn't care about nobody, so in turn, nobody cared about him. There is a scripture that said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I believe, it ain't got nothing to do really with giving tonight, but I guess maybe it does. But in other words, what I'm trying to say is how you treat other people, that thing's going to come back on you. Amen. That thing's going to come back on you every single time. I look at some people and they're so mean and they're so stinking ornery. I just wonder who's going to be there when they need help. Amen? I know people over the years, I thought about it, I think about it every time I go to the funeral home, and like today, I saw people at the funeral home this afternoon. Brother Charles and I was up there, and I saw people that I haven't seen in church in years. And it's not because they're going somewhere else, it's because they're just not going. They're not in church at all. But I guarantee you, if something bad were to happen tomorrow, I'd get a phone call. And they'd expect me to be there. And of course I would be. But they might be shocked when they get to the funeral home and find out the whole church didn't show up. One lady said one time, I forgot who it was, several years ago at a funeral home, she said, I figured more people from the church would have come. I thought, nobody at the church knows who you are. I didn't tell her that. But they don't know you. Amen. It's coming back around. When you take time and you don't care for people and you don't love people, when it comes time for you to need care and you to need love, don't look for it. Amen. A couple of thoughts tonight and we'll go to the house. I want you to turn with me to, my eyes are getting worse. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Have y'all had a good week? Boy, this pretty weather's been a blessing, hasn't it? Y'all give me a few minutes. Usually I mark my places, and I didn't tonight, so just hold on. That's still after Philippians. Still after Philippians, isn't it? Colossians chapter number 3. I want you to look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Are y'all there? Brother Terry still ain't. That's in the New Testament, Brother Terry. You got it? Okay, amen. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 12. The Bible said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, I don't know about you. Some of those things I have a hard time with. But I'm supposed to do it anyway. Is that right? Talk to me. Even though it may be hard, I'm still supposed to have this thing of bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Watch number 13, verse number 13, forbearing one another. You know what that means? That means putting up with one another. That's what you do with your family, isn't it? Amen. They're family. You have no choice. You don't get to pick your family. You're stuck with what you got. Amen. So you just put up with each other. And forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also, so also do ye. Listen, number one tonight, here's what we ought to give. We ought to give consideration. Yes, sir. We ought to give consideration. We ought to consider one another. Amen. We ought to consider one another. We talked about Sunday night, all the things we can't afford to give, but the greatest thing we have to give, we already have, and that's what Christ has put in us. Listen, if you're saved, you can do all those things. Amen. You can have bowels of mercy. You can have kindness. If you're saved. If you're saved. That's kind of one of the tools that come in your kit when you get saved. That's one of the things that are in our arsenal as we get saved. The only problem is a lot of Christians hadn't figured out they've got that in their bag. Yeah, that's right. We have it, we just have failed to use it. If you're truly saved, you can be kind.
Yes, sir.
My grandmother used to say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say nothing at all. If I heard that one time, I heard it a million. If I had a dollar for every time Granny said that, I could buy everybody Christmas. Amen. And you'd say it's the best Christmas you ever had. Listen, by my flesh, I don't have that ability. Kindness is not in my nature. Kindness is not in your nature. Some people are just nice people and some people are just crabs. Amen. I know some Christians, and there ain't no doubt in my mind, but they're the most sour people I've ever met in my life. And I'm just here to tell you that is not God's will for their life. Every time you meet them, they got to tell you about so-and-so, and they got to tell you about so-and-so. Got to be careful now. One lady asked me the other day, it was when I was sick. She said, what's wrong with the prayer line? She don't go to our church. She said, I call that prayer line every day. Now, God forgive me, I walked off and I thought, I wonder if she's praying or she just wants to know what's going on. Are y'all okay? Number two, Brother Freddie said. I wonder if she's really praying or is she really concerned. Is she really concerned and earnestly going to God every day? If there's not enough needs in her church for her to pray, she's got to have some hours. I'm not being mean. God knows my heart. But something inside me just thought, I wonder if she really just wants to know what's happening in our church.
Yeah.
And that's the way a whole lot of Christians are. Every time you see them, no matter where you are, did you hear? 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 Hey, man, listen, that ain't the will of God, man. That ain't God's will for our life. Our job and God's will for us as Christians, we ought to be considerate of one another. Now, listen, I'm not being considerate of Brother Charles if I tell his trouble to everybody I see. Or if I tell his weakness to everybody I see. If Brother Charles gets upset and slaps Sister Janice, we'd be burying him next week. But if he were to do that, and boy, wouldn't it be bad of me as his friend to run into people we know together and say, did you hear Brother Charles is beating up on Sister Janice? I mean, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? You say, well, it's the truth. Yeah, but we're supposed to conceal a matter. Is that right? That would be me being considerate of him and his testimony. Amen. Let's look at those things we're supposed to be again. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That means just like we read in our text tonight in Luke chapter number 6, as God is merciful toward us, we're supposed to be merciful toward others.
Yeah.
Now listen, there comes a time when you have to put your foot down.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. There comes a time when you have to put your foot down. Somebody asked me one day, and this situation was going on in their family. They said, what would you do if Levi came home and told you he is homosexual? Now, boy, I could give a real fast answer right there. I'd kill him. Now, I mean, that's the first thing come to my mind. I'd just kill him. I'd knock his stinking head off. I'd do this and I'd do that. But truth be the matter is, I've never been in that situation where it was my son, so it's hard for me to judge somebody else who's in that situation when it's their son, and I've had to deal with that situation, and I searched my heart real deep down, and I'd have to say, son, I disagree with your lifestyle. I disagree with your choice, but I love you. I won't put up with it. Don't bring your boyfriend around here. Blue. That was a bad illustration. Levi said, yeah, it's real bad illustration. But best, amen. Brother Freddie liked it, Levi. Amen. But listen, my job would be to be merciful toward my son, wouldn't it? I would never win him by kicking him out of my home. I'd never win him by beating his brains out. Every now and then, we have people come back or call who's been gone for a long time and their lives are in a mess. They're in the middle of a bad situation and they always remembered somebody who loved them, somebody who was merciful toward them.
Amen.
Amen. Be careful this year with your family. Y'all got any family that's messed up? Amen. I've got to go Friday and pick my little cousin up from the hospital in Montgomery, Alabama. That's going to be 6 hours at least, probably 7 or 8 there and back, and bring him home. I'm going to have several hours riding home with him, just me and him. He's destroyed his life by stuff he's put in his body. I mean, he's absolutely destroyed his life. I've got two choices. I've been thinking about it ever since they asked me to go get him. How am I going to handle this ride home? Am I going to chew his head off all the way? There's going to be a little bit of that, I promise you. There's going to be a little, listen to me, there's going to be a little bit of that. But it's not going to be all that. There's going to be some mercy, and there's going to be some love, and there's going to be some kindness. Now, here's my idea of being considerate of my little cousin. I'm going to offer my help. What can I do to help you not to go back down this road again? What can I do to help you to stay off the ventilator and off life support? What can I do to be a blessing to you? Now, when I see what he's put his family through, my flesh wants to rare up pretty bad. But I know him. And I know that's not him. That's the demons he's battling. Amen. Brother Jason has to deal with that stuff all the time. People on drugs, people on all these chemicals, they do stuff that is totally outside their realm that they would never, ever, ever, ever do. Amen. I just left Maryland, preacher's boy in rehab. I've known that kid all his life. This is the 18th year I preached that. I'd give anything if we had our place ready. I'd have brought him home with me. 18 years, I've watched that boy grow up his whole life. As good a kid as I ever known, got his back hurt on the job, got hurt, got hooked on the prescription drugs. I know this kid like I know my children pretty much. Preacher come home, there's a guy out in his driveway loading his lawnmower in the back of his truck. He said, "Where are you going my lawnmower?" He said, "Your boy sold it to me." That boy had never taken anything from his daddy. Respect his daddy as much as any boy in this world, but that junk took over. That junk took over. When dealing with that stuff, you got to consider what you're dealing with. And I don't know why I'm getting, I guess Corby's just really on my mind tonight. You got to consider what you're dealing with. In their right mind, they'd never do anything like that. They'd never steal from their parents. They'd never steal from their family. They'd never put their family through. Corby would have never made his sisters come and stay up in a motel and spend every dime they got paying for a hotel and food, spent their Christmas money down there sitting by his bedside. He'd have never done that if he was in his right mind. So I'm not going to chew him out because of what he made him do. I'm going to do my best to love him and do my best to help him. We're supposed to have bowels of mercy. The Lord's talking about giving like God gave to you. Yeah. Has God showed us bowels of mercy? Yes, sir. Has he showed us kindness? Yeah. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching Joel Osteen tonight. Amen. We've got to take a stand against what ain't right. Amen. 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 Like I said, there's going to be a little bit of that in there, but it ain't going to be the whole 3.5-hour ride home. I'm not going to chew him out. I don't want him to get out of my truck and say, "Would to God they'd have sent anybody but him." I want him to get out of the truck and say, "Boy, I'm glad they sent Eddie to get me. Amen. Pray for me. Amen. That God give me what I need. Amen. And how to handle him." I'm talking about somebody who is that close to leaving this world. God help me to be merciful. God help me to be kind. God help me to be forgiving. And you've got some family you need to react to just like that. You've got some co-workers you need to react to just like that. Amen. Just like Brother Dwayne praying for his brother tonight. Brother Dwayne's not so much worried about the intestinal problem or the colon problem as he is the soul problem. His brother's not saved. You say, "I got some family who act like idiots." Maybe it's because they're just not saved. They don't. You were an idiot before you got saved. Amen. You was a nut before you got saved. Man, I stood there in a funeral home. It was like a high school reunion. Guys I grew up with and went to school with all my life. I was standing there talking to one guy, old Brother Paul Leggett. Brother Charles, you know Brother Paul. And he's as wide as he is tall now. And we're standing there talking. I said, "Who's that guy talking to Brother John?" He said, "You don't know who that is?" I said, "No." He said, "You run around with him all the time." And I kept looking. I thought, "I know that guy." He said, "That's Brian Witt." I said, "Good Lord, man." And we got to talking, but standing there talking. I said, "Oh, gosh, these guys know too much about me." See, they remember when I was an idiot. I'm still an idiot, but I'm a saved idiot. Amen? Amen. Amen. You got to remember, before you got saved, you stupid too. You took God's name in vain, probably most of you anyway. You took God's name in vain. Be careful. That's why he's talking about judge not that you be not judged. Amen. We are to judge, but we're not to stand and condemn everybody. They're condemned already. So we need to consider when we're looking at other people that we work with or in their family, maybe they just don't know Jesus like you know Jesus. Maybe to them, Christmas is all he is, and Easter is all he is. I firmly believe some people come to church on Christmas and Easter because that's all they know about God. Yeah. That's the height of their knowledge of who he is and what he is. He came in a manger and he left from the tomb. That's all they know. Yeah. Right. I seriously wonder if they even know him personally in their heart. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Don't sit around your kitchen table or your grandmother's kitchen table and judge your entire family. Yeah. Love them. Show them Christians are nice.
Amen.
We're not always preaching to them.
Yeah.
Is this all right tonight?
Amen.
Be considerate. Brother Eric English called me right before Thanksgiving and said he had a couple of people in his church ask him personally about how to witness to their family over the holidays. He wanted to know if I had any advice, and I thought about it for a minute, and I said, yeah, I got a couple of things. Don't embarrass them in front of people.
Amen.
Don't make sly jokes. Why, if you saved, you wouldn't act like that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You're pushing them further and further away from God.
Yeah.
Wait till they go outside to smoke and go out there and put your arm around them and say, I've been praying for you.
Amen.
Amen. Catch them when they're all by themselves. Don't embarrass them in front of everybody.
You're right.
Amen. I'll never forget one time we took a group of teenagers from White Oak to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and we went to that, where the horses in the north and the south. Dixie Stampede. We went to Dixie Stampede. Before you go into the show, they carry you into this old cowboy-type saloon. And you get root beer in a mug and all that. It's pretty cool. I liked it. But they had these dance hall girls come around. And one of them throwed her leg up on the arm of the chair, and she was selling garters off her leg for $1, $2, whatever it was. And there was a preacher in our group, and I'll never forget, it's just stuck in my mind, and it has as long as I've been saved. I've never forgot this. He knocked that woman's leg off his chair, and he said, no self-respected woman would act like that and dress like you are. Do you reckon he helped her or hurt her?
Amen.
She put her leg on my chair, too. I bought two garters. No, I'm kidding. I didn't. You can trust me, I didn't. My wife was sitting right beside me. Amen. And that's before she had much bowels of mercy and grace and kindness and all that. She'd have killed me. But seriously, there is a way to react and there's a way not to react. Amen. We ought to be considerate of others. Stop and consider they may not know the God you know. Stop and consider that you may not understand what they're going through. You've never walked in their shoes. Pray to God you'll never walk in a drug addict's shoes. Pray to God you'll never walk in the shoes of a parent whose child is homosexual. Pray to God you never walk in the shoes of a parent whose daughter got pregnant before marriage.
Amen.
Amen. Pray to God you never have to go through that.
Yeah.
So be careful what you say about those who are having to go through that.
Yes, sir.
And the day we're living in, we're going to see a lot more and more and more and more of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we're going to be careful.
Amen.
There's a family in our church who has a child who's a homosexual. And every time they're here, the daddy will come by my office for church and say, don't you dodge it. Don't you dodge it. Don't you dodge it. And I always try to hit it in a way that won't hurt, but they get the point.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all all right?
Amen.
Well, to be considerate of others. Considerate of others. I'm more considerate of those parents than I am the child. Amen. I wouldn't hurt the mom and dad for nothing. They know where I stand. And so does the child.
Amen.
Amen. So when you give, try giving some consideration. You ever talk with somebody who's going through something and you really understand because you've been where they are?
Yes, sir.
I used to try to give advice on everything. You know, preachers are supposed to have the answer for everything. We don't. Sometimes people come to my office and they're going through something I've never been through. But I know somebody who has.
Right.
I always just redirect and say, you're talking to the wrong person. I've never lost a child. Talk to Brother William and Miss Jennifer. I'll send them in a direction, somebody who's been through there, what they've been through and made it. Amen. You don't always have to give the answer because you're not the authority on everything.
Amen.
Amen. Our pride wants to swell up and say, bless God, here's what I'd do. You don't know what you'd do. You have no earthly idea what you'd do. Amen. Some of you look at some of these ladies that men, their husbands don't come to church with them and their husbands don't live right and they don't do right. And you ladies, be careful about saying, well, if that was my husband, I would. Well, it's not your husband.
Right.
You need to be considerate of those and thank God that you're not in the same situation they are. And pray for them that God would change their situation.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me give you another one. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We can give consideration and it'll be given back unto us. We can give consolation and that'll be given back unto us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, look at verse number 4. Let's back up to verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all, say it with me. Comfort. You ever had the Lord comfort you? I mean, when nobody else could, you ever had God just comfort you? That's just like them people said at the funeral home, I don't know what we'd do without the Lord. Now, I surely don't know what we'd do without the Lord. Now, watch this. In verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How about that? God comforts His children, enabling us to be a comfort to somebody else. God comforts His children, enabling us to be a comfort to somebody else. Do you ever find yourself at a loss for words? At a funeral home, at a hospital, Brother Charles is a professional. He should have been a funeral director or a hospital chaplain, something like that. He is the best with people in a bad situation as anybody ever seen in my life. If we're ever at the hospital together, I never pray. Not with him there. I said, Brother Charles, you pray. He knows how to pray, he knows how to comfort, and he knows how to help. I do the best I can. Tonight, John English put his arm around me. He said, you don't know what it means just to have you here. Sometimes it ain't so much what you say, it's just being there. Amen. We can give consolation. We can give comfort. The Bible said comfort the feeble-minded. We can give comfort to those who are hurting. Amen. I cannot stand to be at a funeral home where somebody died in a questionable situation and people come up and start asking questions. Not the time, not the place. Well, what happened? How did they die? Blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
Amen.
They don't want to rehearse that to you.
Right.
When a body's been at the crime lab for 3 days trying to determine cause of death, just keep your mouth shut. It doesn't matter anyway. They're dead.
Yeah. Right.
Whether they got killed in a car light wreck, whether they got struck by lightning, or whether they OD'd, or whether they blowed their brains out. It doesn't make no difference for you to know the answer of how they died.
Right.
You're just there to be a comfort to that family. Amen. I've been sitting at the funeral home and wanted to jump up and say, shut your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. God put us here to be a comfort to one another. Have you ever noticed in our church when we lose a family member and it's somebody close, not somebody that comes once a year, but somebody and all of us at the funeral home? You ever noticed that? You know what we do? We have a good time. We have a good time. I've walked in the funeral home. I've got out of my truck before, right here at Jones Wynn's funeral home, and heard laughter before I got in the door. You know what that was? That's comforting. That's comforting. When we can laugh with those who are mourning and rejoice with those who are mourning. Man, I left the funeral home today. Normally, you know, I'm a crybaby. I didn't shed a tear at that funeral home tonight. Not one tear. Man, I just rejoiced with them kids, and man, we had a good time together and talking about old times, and got to looking around the room, Brother Freddie. There's probably 30 people in that room that rode my mama's bus to church when they was kids. Mama left there just before I did, and I walked through the door. Your mama was just here. Your mama was just here. Your mama was just here. And mama knew every one of them kids. We've known every one of them since I was little and growing up. And man, we just rejoiced together. It was like a reunion. We had a good time. Amen. You know what it was? It was just a whole bunch of people who loved one little family. And they just gathered around, put their arms around them.
Right. Amen.
Amen. We can comfort one another. Remember what Job said about his friends? Miserable comforters are ye. You know what he said?
Yes.
You know what he was saying? Some friends you are.
Yeah.
You know, boy, maybe you're not right with God. Or maybe, you know, I mean, boy, they just judging, putting all the blame back on Job. Didn't have nothing to do with Job. They were miserable comforters was what they were. I heard about a preacher whose son had gotten killed or something bad had happened to the child. I'm trying to remember who it was, Brother Charles. I know you know the story. And it wasn't Brother Mays. It was one of them old preachers. Something had happened to his grandson or his grandchild, or maybe it was his boy. It was Brother Billy Kelly is who it was. Do you know somebody sent Brother Billy a card in the mail? And in that card, what they said in essence to Brother Billy, would this have happened if you were doing what you ought to be doing?
Wow.
From a preacher.
Wow.
How sorry is that? A man giving his life, preaching the gospel all over the country. And would this have happened if you were right with God? My soul, man, is that what he needs to hear? No. That's not comforting at all. That's discomforting. If I thought something happened to one of my grandchildren because of me, phew, boy, I don't find no comfort in that. But we can give consideration and we can give comfort to one another. Nine times out of ten, all we got to do is listen or just be there. You don't have to use that excuse, I don't know what to say. None of us do. None of us do. I sat there talking with John today, and I said, John, I can't begin to understand what you're going through. I can't begin to understand. My mama just left here a while ago, and far as I know, she's in fairly good health. I've never had to look at my mama's corpse in a coffin. I don't know where you're standing, but I'm your friend, and I'm here for you. How dare me put my arm around him and say, I know what you're going through. I ain't got a clue. I've never buried my mother. I buried family, but not my mama. There's something special about that one for a boy. Amen. I buried my dad, but I got a feeling mama's going to be something totally different. Amen. You know what I'm going to need? I'm going to need some comfort. Because I'll be one hurting little boy. And ain't never a man lived on the face of this earth if something happened to his mama that knew where she was more than I do. Ain't no doubt in my mind, I know where my mama will be.
Amen.
But boy, just a loser. Amen. So I don't understand what John's going through. One day if the Lord tarries, I will. I'll have to go through it. Amen. We don't always understand what people are going through. But God comforts us so that we can comfort others. God help us to be a comfort to people who are hurting. Amen. God help us to be a comfort. Because of y'all the other day, Sunday night, thank y'all. Those of you that come up and stuck money in my pocket, them little boys are going to have a good Christmas.
Amen.
Me and Sister Angie shopped all day yesterday. She shopped, I waited. I dropped her off at Kmart and said, I'm going to Tractor Supply. I'll come back and get you. I know everything in Tractor Supply, where it's at, what shelf it's on, I can tell you. Amen. I got the place cataloged. Amen. Seriously. Well, what a blessing. I don't know what it means for the church to have to buy Christmas for my children. I don't know that hurt. God's been good to me.
Amen.
Lord willing, Sunday, as that little mama sits down out there and eats with us because of what we've done together, boy, that'll be a comfort to her.
Amen.
Boy, she's down on her luck, out of work, lost her home, having to live with her mom. Boy, don't you know that'll just be a little extra blessing to know she ain't got to worry about that? And them little boys is getting loaded up too, man. I'm telling you, boy, I was about jealous. I want to play with their stuff. I may do it before it's over with. Amen. You know what that'll be? That'll be a comfort to that little mom. That'll be a comfort to that little mom. What a blessing it is to be able to do it. Amen. Y'all got time for a couple more scriptures? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We can be considerate. We can give consideration. We can give consolation. And what did he say? If we give it, it'll be what? Given unto us. Shaken, pressed down. Good measure. Running over. In other words, boy, we'll just give a little, God will give a lot. If we'll just give a little, God will give a lot. I think about some of these ladies. Sister Irene, I guess she's back there with the kids. Miss Sheila. My goodness, man. Ain't nothing happens that these ladies, I don't go to a hospital that Irene hadn't already been. I go to see Miss Peggy, and there's something on the little table by her bed. And where'd you get that? Kristen made it for me. Boy, and I think, whoa, whoo. One of these days, they're going to need help.
Amen.
And Katie barred the door. Because people will come out of the woodwork because they'll remember their kindness,
yes,
and their love. They'll remember Miss Sheila's cakes and her desserts. And what a blessing, man. When my daddy died, man, people come from everywhere. They started bringing in food. And that funeral director said, "You got to do something while that's all right. I ain't got nothing to do with it." I said, "This is Happy Valley, brother. That's first shift. Second shift's probably on the way." Amen.
That's
right. It's amazing when you live your life involved in caring and loving for people, what comes back when you need it.
Yes,
you know, all those nights in a funeral home, boy, it's all worth it that day when I looked up at my daddy's funeral, and there all those people were. That night, my son was in a coma. Floyd Medical Center. That security guard come and gets me. Says, "You've got to do something with all these people." He said, "There's people in every waiting room. Every waiting room in this hospital, every floor is full of people praying." I thought, my soul. Well, that's worth every hospital visit I ever made, Brother Freddie.
Amen.
You know what God was doing? He was giving it back. He is giving it back. When somebody else needed it, maybe I was there. Now I need it, and good Lord, everybody's there. What a blessing, man. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse number 9, the Bible said, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Ye are laborers together with God." Listen, I said we can give consideration, we can give consolation, we can give cooperation. We can give cooperation. I know a lot of people who won't have anything to do with anything unless they're in charge of it. Well, it got quiet there. There's nothing wrong with just helping.
Amen.
I'll never forget a lady told me one day, she said, "I want to work a bus route." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "So-and-so needs some help." It was Sister Laurie, Brother Michael. I said, "Sister Laurie's always needing help, begging somebody to go with her." She said, "No, I want my own route." I said, "Well, go help Sister Laurie for a little while." And she'd never been a bus captain. She didn't have no idea. I said, "Go help Sister Laurie for a while. I don't want to help nobody. I want to be the captain." I said, you don't work the bus ministry. Bus ministry ain't about being the captain.
That's right.
Hey, man, it's just about being some help.
Yeah.
You know what's going to thrill me? I'm not a bus captain. I'm not a bus director. I'll tell you what I am. I'm somebody who can take a plate Sunday afternoon. Potato salad or whatever it may be and say, "You need some more?"
Amen.
You know what a thrill that'll be to stand there and serve some of these little children's mamas,
amen,
and daddies. They don't have to let up. They don't have to let them kids come here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let me say that again. They don't have to let them kids come here. Did you know most of the kids we pick up, another bus passes their house too?
Yeah.
Amen.
They get a white bus by there and a blue bus by there. They could get on either one of them.
Yeah.
But they let them come here. Well, what a privilege it'll be just to get out there and cooperate. Sunday, what I'm going to do, I'm the pastor. But my plan for Sunday afternoon, soon as church is over, is go out there and say, Brother Michael, what do you want me to do? I ain't got to run the thing. If I run it, it'd be a mess. They'd get hot dogs. It's about, I can boil a weenie, amen? It'd be about the best I can do. I'm just going to cooperate. Brother Michael, what do you want me to do? You want me to cook? You want me to serve? What do you want me to do? I'm here to be your helper. Amen? It's okay just to jump in and help every now and then. You ain't got to run the thing. You can just cooperate. Amen? You ain't got to be in charge of cleaning. You can just come help. Amen? You can just come and say, what you need me to do? Man, when we have work days around here, Brother Freddie will line all that stuff up. Man, I'm you know, I worked construction all my life, but I don't see what he sees. Brother Freddie says, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. Okay. We laid this carpet in here, man, and moved all these pews. What do you want me to do? I ain't never laid no carpet. Amen. We just cooperate. We just cooperate. Don't be that person that's got to be in charge. Anything with two heads is a monster. Amen. Every now and then, we can just cooperate. Well, what if I don't like the way they're doing it? So what? There's six or seven ways to do everything. My boss on the plumbing job used to say, I want you to run this line this way, catch that and catch this and that toilet and that battery sinks right there, and I want you to do this. And I'd look at it, and I mean, this was my mind. It'd be a whole lot easier if I'd do it like this. He'd say, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask your opinion. This is how I want this done. You remember Doug Carney? That's who I was working with, old brother Doug Carney at Stasco. Been plumbing for 100 years, man. A dude knew his stuff, and I'd try to tell him, it'd be better if we'd do it like this. Well, if I had that back, I can't imagine how stupid I sounded. There I was in my 20s telling this 50-year-old man who'd been doing it for 40 years, well, it'd be better if we'd do it like this, you know. I just wanted to hear myself talk. He'd say the same thing every time, shut up and do it like I told you. He'd get a one of them crayon markers, not like you color with, but one of them, y'all know what I'm talking about anyway, and he'd get on that slab floor, and he'd draw it out, and he'd say, I want it just like that, and if it ain't just like that, you're going to tear it out, and you're going to do it all over again. And I'm still thinking, well, it'd be better if we just went this way. Everybody's got an idea. They're like elbows and armpits. Everybody's got two, and most of them stink. Amen. Amen. We can just cooperate with one another and get along. Amen. Everything don't have to be an issue and a fight. We just do it. Amen. Well, I don't like the way Brother Michael's taking care of that kitchen. Looks better than it has in quite a while.
Amen.
My opinion.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, you remember what I said about opinions? Amen. I appreciate the effort. Amen. I appreciate the effort. I've never asked Brother James how his system was cleaning this church. I've never said, give me a drawn-out schedule of what you do on what day. I don't give a rip.
Amen.
I like the way it looks.
Amen.
I don't care how it got there.
Yeah.
That's totally up to him.
Right.
Got old Scudder still up here about every day. You can't stop him.
Amen.
Thank God for men like it.
Amen.
I appreciate you, buddy.
Amen.
With all my heart.
By
the way, New Year's Eve, we're going to baptize.
Amen.
Sister Lauren, bring your change of clothes. Your daddy's coming.
Amen.
We're going to have a good time. Amen?
Amen.
And we can cooperate with one another. And we don't have too much problem out of this crowd around here.
Sorry.
Usually when we get together to do something, we have a good time doing it.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes too much a good time. We're having so much fun, we don't get done what we need to get done. Amen? We can give consideration. We can give consolation. We can give cooperation. I like that. The Bible said we're laborers together with God. So it ain't me and Brother Robbie and Brother Freddie and Brother Sam laying carpet. It's me and Brother Robbie and Brother Freddie and Brother Sam and the Lord. How about that? Man, you throw him in the mix, that kind of changes the way things look. Let me rephrase that. It's Brother Freddie, Brother Robbie, Brother Sam, and the Lord and me watching. Amen. I'm a good watcher. Don't say amen right there. Amen. Hey, I did help tote it all in. Amen. Seemed funny, though. I got in the middle. I tote that carpet one finger. I don't know why that was. I'm just that strong. Them guys on each end were sweating bullets, amen. But it was real light where I was, amen. Praise the Lord, man. Let's look at this last one. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Give and it shall be given unto you. Well, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of stuff I need work. I could do a little better, especially in consideration. Well, I wish a lot of times I'd think before I opened my mouth. Amen.
Amen.
I wish I'd just stop and think. Well, bless God if that was me.
Amen.
I bet you if we've said that one time, we've said it a million. If that was me, I'd tell you what I'd do. If that's me, I'd do this. If that's mine, I'd do that. But I remember when my kids were little. He's beside himself. When my kids were little and people in the church had teenagers, oh boy. Oh man.
Amen.
Bless God, mine won't ever.
Yeah.
My kid will never do that. Yeah. A little different now, amen.
Amen.
Of course, my kids, all three pretty good kids, never give us no trouble, but I'm just talking about the day-to-day stuff, amen. Amen. Let's look at this last one. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. And this is the, say the word with me.
Confidence.
Confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I said we could give consideration. We can give consolation. We can give cooperation. And then on top of all those four, we can give confidence. Not self-confidence. I have very little of that. Some people are too self-confident. We shouldn't be self-confident. We ought to be God-confident. In other words, I can't, but God can. I can't fix your marriage, but God can. I can't raise your children, but God can. I can't fix your finances, but God can.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to have confidence in God. You know what that is? That's our faith. That's our faith. My faith allows me to have confidence in God. And now my confidence in Him is bigger than it's ever been before. You know why? Because putting confidence in Him builds more confidence in Him. The more you trust Him, the more you'll trust Him. If that makes any sense. The more you put your trust in Him, the more you'll realize you can trust Him. You can trust God. I don't care what the situation is. If you'll just give it to God. And put confidence in Him that He can handle it. I'm confident. I am absolutely confident that there's nothing going on in our lives that God cannot handle. He can bring a daddy back from a stroke. He can bring a cousin back from excessive internal bleeding. He can bring a daughter back from cancer that's supposed to kill her. He can bring a man back out of a coma who fell off a building. God, those are big things. And we have trouble giving God confidence in the little stuff.
Amen.
Are you listening? We worry and worry and worry, and is that helping? Not one little bit.
Amen.
If we'd just go ahead and put our confidence in God, He saved you, didn't He?
Amen.
Do you ever pray and remind God of what He's done for somebody else? God, you did that for them. God, you did that for them. You did that for them, and you did that for them. I was in Waldorf, Maryland. I mentioned that a while ago. Just a couple of weeks ago, Sister Angie got to come and be with me at the end of the week. But while we were there, the Saturday before I got there, they led this young man, 22 years old. They led him to the Lord at the flea market. They go to the flea market and preach every Saturday. It's kind of an Amish market where Amish people come and bring their crafts and all that. But they led this young man to the Lord on Saturday. He came to church Sunday. On Monday, he had an aneurysm on his brain, was bleeding on his brain. And you know what I did? I just felt led. Tuesday night, they were asking prayer for him, or Wednesday night. When did you get there? It was Thursday, wasn't it? This was after you got there. And they were asking prayer. They kind of had an update on how he was doing. And man, it's not my church. But I just felt led, man. I said, hey, Brother Smokey, let me say something. And I just stood up and testified about Brother Anthony for a few minutes and talked about the whole situation, what he's been through. And what the reason I told that story was I wanted them to have confidence. If God did that for him, he could do that for this young man. Amen. And the preacher was talking about how we ought to pray for him. And I said, look, I said, I'm not running this show, but I think it'd be good if we all just gathered up and prayed right now. Amen. I got that whole church going. We got down there and prayed for that young man. But I'm looking for an update any day that he's doing better and the bleeding on the brain is stopped. You know why? I got, there ain't no doubt in my mind God can do that. Why? I've seen him do it before. As we get older in the faith, our faith ought to get bigger. Because we've seen God do more. We've seen God do more. It's a shame these little children got more faith than we do. I'll give you this illustration and I'm done. I think about little Harley Hofford. Harley got up every morning and prayed for a baby sister. Every day before he ate his lunch, Harley prayed for a baby sister. Every night before he went to bed, Harley prayed for a little sister. I don't know how long that went on, a couple years, 2 years. Mom and Dad, bless their hearts, took the doctor's word at it. You can't have children. It's just natural. I'm not shaking a finger at Ashley and David. But Harley just kept asking God for a baby sister. You know what? He believed that. He believed that with all his heart. You know what he got? Baby sister. I often wonder if God didn't do that for several reasons. Number one, that little boy's prayers. Don't you think for a second God didn't hear that 3 times a day, every day for 2 years? God heard it every single time. God said, not only am I going to answer those little boy's prayers, I'm going to confound those doctors. I'm going to show them that they don't know all the answers. And they don't have all the answers. But I believe Ashley's probably, I guess, at home tonight playing with that little old baby. She's the cutest thing. Because Harley had confidence in God. Maybe even bigger confidence than his mom and dad. Harley didn't understand reasoning.
That's right.
He didn't understand science and the doctors. He had no knowledge of all that. But he had heard over and over and over how big his God was. He had heard over and over and over what a miracle his mama was. And I wonder if his little mind wasn't thinking, Jesus, if you can do that, if you can give me a baby sister, if you can take care of all that cancer and my mama ain't dead and she's supposed to be, you little sister, that ain't no big deal. God, give me a baby sister. And he just kept on and he kept on. Why'd he keep on asking? Because he believed with all his heart. So often we'll ask God for something. We'll ask him again and again and again. When we fail to see it, we give up. It's because our confidence in God's pretty low. We ought to have a high God confidence and a low self confidence. With God, all things are possible. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give what? Give consideration to others. Give consolation to others. Give consolation, comfort. Give cooperation where you can. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? I didn't even mean for it to go the way it did Sunday night. I almost wished I hadn't said anything. But people just started coming. What can I do? Here's $10. Here's $5. Here's a check. Here's this. Here's that. Now, what a blessing. You know what it was? Some people said it ain't much, but here's something. Hey, you would not believe how much that helped. And Jeremiah called me Monday. He said, hey, just want you to know that Kmart and Hiram's going out of business and all their stuff is, some of it's half price. I said, I think they done closed. Me and my wife went by there. Sure enough, they're still open. But them kids racked up because Kmart's still open. I think God may have done that for them little boys. You know what they still had more of than anything? Toys. I was amazed at Christmas time. I figured that place going out of business, they wouldn't have toy left. But we racked up, man. We racked up. God's good, man. God's good. But it wouldn't have been near that if it had just been me and Sister Angie doing what we could do. Several people say, hey, what can I do to help? Here's a little here and here's a little there. I almost want to be there Christmas morning when them little boys get up. See their face, man. That little Christopher, he's about a mini-me. I mean, buddy, he's wired for sound, buddy. I can just say some things he's going to get, he's just going to go ballistic, man. And because some people just said, hey, what can I do? There's going to be a smile on a little boy's face Christmas morning. Cooperation. And then we can give confidence in God. You may not always have the answer, but here's a good one. I'm not sure, but I know God can. I don't know what to tell you to do, but I know you can trust the Lord. I don't know how to tell you to get through this, but I can tell you, you can lean on God. That ought to be our answer for just about most everything. Amen? When people come in my office and need help, all I can do is point them to the Lord. I can tell them what I've been through and what others have been through. But man, I ain't the one that can get them through it. But I got confidence in a God that can. Let's stand at our feet tonight. Come pick you up a prayer sheet. We'll spend a little time praying before we go tonight. Yes, ma'am.